Marconi's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.
Hey everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Whiskey Neat, Spirited Conversations with Interesting People. I am your host, Christopher Hart. I talked about this last week first, and I'm going to talk about it again this week. The great folks over at Waterford sent a few bottles over. This is a new one I haven't had yet. Biodynamic Luna 1.1. And I got, I mean this genuinely. Yes, they're a sponsor, full disclosure. But I adore the last two bottles I've opened from them. I think this one I opened up last week, the Dunmore. I actually bought this one, the Dunmore 1.1. Just absolutely fantastic Irish whiskey. Super big fan. I can't get enough of them. Folks, I've talked about it before. If you're familiar with the concept of terroir and wine, you'll appreciate Mark Rainier's Waterford Single Malt Whiskey from Ireland. We've talked about it before. It's not just an Irish whiskey. It is the Irish whiskey. Mark is combining Scotch whiskey and his fine wine talents to produce an authentic series of Irish single malt whiskeys based on traditional wine industry principles. We've talked about it 1,000 times. There's so much information on the bottle and on the box that it's not enough. They had to go and add a terroir code on the back that you can go to the website, put it in, it'll tell you what farm it comes from, the harvest, I mean the whole nine yards. Waterford Single Farm Origin is one farm, one whiskey. The collection reveals the terroir of each farm and its unique flavor profile. They've just been tremendous. I'm a huge fan. Also, this week's episode is also brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. See how my tongue is numb and I messed that up? They are reviving the tradition of Maryland-style rye whiskey at their Baltimore farm and waterfront distillery. Each batch of Sagamore's whiskey is hand-blended for consistency in aroma, flavor, and texture, creating a balanced flavor profile with notes of warm cinnamon, vanilla bean, honey, and spice. Not only is it an ad read, but I'll tell you that I worked with them, and they sent me two samples of their oldest cognac barrels. And I convinced them to give me an entire cognac barrel that they aged their rye whiskey in for full maturation and do a statewide release for Texas. Sagamore Rye Whiskey just bottled a single barrel for this show that spent its entire life in a cognac barrel and will be released in Texas very soon. So check it out. It'll be statewide distribution in Texas, probably through Total Wine. Total Wine or Specs, we haven't really nailed it down yet. We'll give you updates when it happens. All right. Last but not least, Gregarious Grump. You guys, we know this past week the Whiskey Social's over. We had a great time. We launched our Gregarious Grump cognacs. We talk about them today. We taste them today. They are phenomenal. It's just good freaking cognac. They're available right now at Gulf Coast Distillers at 5610 Clinton Drive in Houston. But pretty soon we will be releasing a 10-year, a 12-year, a 14-year, and a 30-year into the market. Into 10 states. It'll all be available. You can only find the 21 Grand Champagne at Gulf Coast Distillers at 5610 Clinton Drive. But we've launched our cognacs. They're here. We finally made it. After a year of turmoil and logistics and nightmares, we've got it all here. This week, I sit down with a good friend of mine, childhood friend, Charles Justice, great comedian. He's also working on opening his own restaurant here in Houston called Chupi's. And of course, Dusty Rhodes, she's been on the show 7-8 times. We kind of debate about that. Dusty is a good friend of mine. We spend the episode talking about everything she's working on her upcoming special. We get into COVID a little bit. We kind of go off the rails about the incredible Skank Fest event that happened the same weekend as the Whiskey Social at Secret Group. Secret Group hosted one of the largest comedy festivals in the U.S., and they did a naked roast battle, which is insane to me because a roast battle is already going to pick apart your insecurities. My thinning hair, my glasses, my weird beard, the fact that I wear plaid too much. They did it nude, naked, I couldn't even conceive that idea. So it was a good time was had by all. So without further ado, please welcome Charles Justice and Dusty Rhodes, two good friends of mine. Cheers.
What part of your finger do you think is making the noise when you make the snap?
So from my understanding, a snap is actually a small, I could be wrong, like a small sound barrier thing, like a whip.
Yeah, but which part is making the sound? This part
or this part? The speed at which you, nah, I could be wrong. I know with whips, it's the sound barrier thing.
It's this part.
Right?
It's a small clap.
It's a small clap.
Yeah.
So what it is?
So you're just like... accelerating your
finger.
We
haven't even started drinking yet. This is the dumbest conversation we've ever had.
You asked. You were like, hey.
You asked.
No, he asked me to come and bring, like, bring my heat. And yeah. I was like, this is what I've been thinking about for
heat?
A while.
Yeah. So I poured you guys an Irish whiskey to get started.
Okay.
I just opened this. I haven't actually opened it yet. I don't know what biodynamic means, but this is the Irish single malt from Waterford. 100 proof.
There's
Irish
no
whiskey.
Biodiversity in Ireland.
Oh, yeah, they're all just pale and red. Wow.
There's pretty good.
That reminds me of Andrew Youngblood.
Yeah, the first time you had him on.
He chugged like 65%, like an old dusty bourbon from the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just, like, took the shot. And, like, it was so funny because I knew what was going to happen as Chris was pouring it. And he poured it, and Andrew just shoots it. And Chris, like, stopped and looked at him.
Okay.
And I started laughing.
He should be used to this for me, though. Coming.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think there's
He had a private tasting at his house one time. And he invited me and one of my best friends, Thomas, over.
Oh, I remember that.
And he, like, had all of his bottles out, and he was nerding out. He was like, oh, this one, blah, 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 blah. And me and Thomas are, like...
Just shooting.
Like, everything. We just shot. He was like, this is a brandy from Princess Diana's wedding. And I was like, tastes great.
You got any chasers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I asked for a soda.
He had Thomas in particular. I remember, I think he left Blitz because he was just...
Yeah, we rode our bicycles
straight
home.
Straight to the head. God. It's ridiculous.
Did you or did you walk them home?
No, I rode mine. He walked
in.
Either way, I didn't
we
get pulled over by LaPorte PD.
Bikes were involved.
Listen, I'm glad you both can come. There's a lot happening in both your lives. I thought we could come on and catch up. And, you know, I know Dusty's got some things happening. This is going to actually air Friday. So Dusty has some things happening tonight for her birthday.
Yes.
You've got something happening last night, which is tomorrow. Right? Aren't you hosting a show? At the Riot?
No, I'm not hosting a show. I'm on a show.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I forget the terminology in comedy. Hosting means one specific thing.
I'm on a show.
Yeah,
at the Riot on Thursday. Yeah, at 9.
Yesterday, last night.
Killed. Fucking crushed.
We talked about a little bit off air before we started. A lot's happening in your life. I want to get caught up on that.
Oh, yeah.
I think the first time on the show, you were officially designated
a homeless person.
I lived in a van the first time I was on the show. You were,
wow.
He had moved to Florida. Or was
Miami.
About to move to Florida.
Designation. So now you're a homeowner?
I mean, I have an
it's
apartment.
It's like I own two vans.
Yeah. No, actually,
together.
God decided that van should no longer be in my life. There was a freak tornado.
Did you just stop living in a van?
No,
2 years ago.
Oh,
yeah.
A while ago.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been living, like, when I started showing up in Houston and people were like, who's this weirdo? I had just moved out of a van into an apartment. But God, like, literally threw a tree through that van. Like, there was a tornado that hit Deer Park.
And it hit you and you landed in an apartment.
And there was only one set of footsteps carrying me.
Yeah, carrying that tree into the van.
Carrying
window.
That tree. It was Jesus himself.
It totaled it. I remember.
Yeah, I was devastated. But now it lives on a farm in Austin. This is a true statement. The guy sends me pictures every week.
Is it just rotting?
No, he fixed it. He's like fixing it. Yeah,
what's he going to do with it?
He just drives it around his ranch, I guess. He said, it's a great way to call in hogs. And I was like, okay. I don't know what that means, but
it's a
euphemism for how he gets chicks.
How many dudes he gets.
You didn't know.
Yeah. I just learned about that term, hogging? Hog calling? No, you said hog calling.
Yeah,
I think it's called
hogs.
I think it's called hogging. It's a TikTok term that this woman was talking about where when guys are feeling depressed, they specifically go out to yes. make marital love with large women.
Make marital love?
Yeah, I've heard that before.
Or premarital love.
And then when, once it's over, yeah. once it's
over,
once it's over to make fun of her, like pig noises and stuff.
Oh, that's
wait. Then they make fun of her.
Yeah, it's a whole
just
frat,
because their life is crappy.
Yeah, it's a frat term.
That's such a
look it up. It's horrifying.
That makes so much sense.
But look up TikTok hogging. I think is what.
What
it's
if we
called.
Did that to dudes instead?
What would you say?
The same thing.
Pig noises.
Shoo-wee!
So guy would be like, "All right, I'm gonna do it."
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah, do it louder.
What
do
it louder. She's like, "Why are you leaving? It was just getting good."
I gotta call my therapist.
I'm into it.
We also this past weekend we released our new. We relaunched
oh,
the
yeah,
brand.
Exciting!
So I brought the cognacs that are all completely bottled. I haven't opened them yet. I figure
I'm
Brandon,
excited about this rum, too.
Brandon can join us. Yeah. Can't go wrong
is
with rum.
Is that the same rum? Is it changed since like you originally brought it in?
Yeah, so the original release of rum 2 years ago was a 12-year-old Barbados rum. This is a 14-year-old.
Ooh.
So
wait a second.
Old. That 12-year-old was like
this
some of the best
cognac,
I've ever had.
Cognac, is this what, when I was on the show the last time with Patrick, we were tasting samples of to
yeah.
decide? Whoa, that's
yeah.
cool.
So when
callback.
That was a samples
yeah.
episode. That's this is the cognac.
This
that
is
we
what happened.
On
oh,
yeah.
this is exciting.
Wow, you remember.
Yeah.
This is also my first episode without Ingenious on.
This
oh, yeah,
is
yeah.
my seventh time to be on the show.
Oh, really?
I
have
really thought
track?
It was going to just be me, but yeah. I was like, I still haven't gotten solo status yet.
Me either, no. I've known him for 20 years.
Like,
I haven't been here by
it.
Myself.
I was like, man, I've been on the show, because I was just thinking about who all I've been on the show with from episode one to this one.
Patrick Barry.
Patrick Barry, Youngblood, David.
David,
no. What's his name? Your friend.
Oh, Zuka.
Yeah. So Zuka was the first one. Then
who
it was Youngblood.
Yeah.
Then it was Pasha.
Brand, okay, Pasha.
And then
not Zahid.
Zahid and I have never been on an episode together.
I love that man.
And yeah, he's so great. And then Patrick, and then well Barry, and then Patrick, because Barry
yeah.
and I were virtual, or maybe it was Patrick then Barry.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, and no, and then I'm sorry, this might be eight then, because Blair. When I was on with the Whiskey Women.
Oh, that's right. We debated
the dude that writes.
The misogynistic
he was
weird dude.
Just a bad writer in general. Yeah. Like, say what you will about his misogyny. Yeah. He also
all
sucks.
All right, quit talking
writer.
About my set now. Yeah. All right.
They're, all right. I'm enjoying this. Yeah, so eight times. Wow. So I don't think Barry's been on by himself either.
Okay. So.
I mean, the first time he was on, he killed John Witherspoon. So that's Barry's fault.
Was he on with John Witherspoon?
Yeah, yeah.
And he died 3 days later.
Yeah.
It was 3 days later?
It was like a week later, but
wow.
I was the last interview that John
hyperbole.
Hyperbole. Yeah, yeah. It was literally right after the show.
Yeah.
He died.
John walked out of the studio and just dropped it.
This is also the first episode after the Whiskey Social. We took a break. We always take
a
break.
I'm so sad I missed that.
Well, I think you had a lot going on that
yeah,
weekend.
Yeah, I did.
So
but...
I was surprised that Charles came. True friend, you're a piece of shit. Charles came and missed Skankfest, which, by the way, how was that?
It was...
Be honest.
It was, like, I had a... Like, this is what we were talking about, because I was, like, Zahed and Victor and I were talking about this with Nate Craig, another comedian who was in town that we opened for, because he asked the same question, and it was... It was fun because I just hung out with my friends.
Sure.
Like, just like any festival. Like, there was a festival in my backyard. Of course I'm going to be on it. And I had fun because I hung out with my friends at a festival. Like, I wasn't like, I didn't really like go around.
But not a whiskey festival. Okay.
It wasn't. No,
so,
you don't understand. So here's what actually happened.
I went
happened.
To a whiskey festival.
I got
yeah,
booked
yeah.
For,
none of my friends were
I
there.
I got banked, booked for Skankfest. And I specifically asked them, I'm like, can I please not be on a show on Saturday? And they were like, yeah, sure, no problem, because they had Friday and Sunday. And then Youngblood contacted me and was like, they want to have Wheelhouse on the show. And I was like, cool. And then they sent me my schedule. And my schedule was like a 2 o'clock on a Friday, which I was like, I can't make that because I'm teaching.
Sure.
And then a show at 4 on Saturday and a show at 8 on Saturday. And I was like... I can't basically just tell them I can't do any of the
not.
Shows you
yeah,
booked
yeah.
me for.
I'm
like,
giving you a hard time.
Yeah, I know. I was really upset. I was like, damn it.
I fully support your job. It's an amazing job. It's something I'm very envious of. But for those who don't know, Skankfest is this massive. It'd be
massive.
Fair to say massive.
There was
so many. Huge.
Like every time I met someone, like a person that was there just for the festival, like almost none of them were from Houston. Like
yeah.
everyone I met was from like. Somewhere else, like from out of town.
Yeah, Baltimore.
Yeah,
I met a bunch of people.
I met some dudes from North Carolina. I hit on a dude from South Carolina.
There you go.
Go down but south. Then like some dudes from Arizona. But like it was crazy because I would ask people, especially because like that was one of the whole things about having Wheelhouse on the festival. It's like, cool, now people will know about it. But like, I'm sure everyone in the audience doesn't live in
they
Houston.
They just went home and they're like,
yeah, Houston,
I saw a cool show. Yeah, yeah.
So Skankfest is a large, I wouldn't say the largest, but how many people would you say? Like, it's thousands, right?
Yeah.
And it goes on for 3 days. It's like Friday, Saturday, Sunday from noon until close.
Yeah.
2 a.m. So it's literally a 14-hour day, 3 days in a row of just nonstop.
Shout out to the bartenders of the Secret Group because Amen. Jesus hell, like what they had to go, like all of them mostly worked every day, all day.
All day.
And then came back and did it again. So like if you're seriously, shout out to the staff at the Secret Group.
What kind of money are you making 3 days as a bartender for?
They said
like
that they were getting tipped well because I would ask all of them if people were taking care of them. And Jesse, I know who was working the box, he was like, yeah, everybody's taking care of me.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because they got to see his penis on Saturday night.
Oh, was that part of
roast.
His act?
No, he did the naked roast battle. So one of the things they do that's like a tradition at Skankfest is they do a naked roast battle.
Someone voluntarily signs up.
Someone.
Yeah, like 20 people.
It was like, it was two, four, six, there were five rounds, so it was 10 people.
And you roast each other's
they
naked
have
bodies?
To be naked. And the judges are also naked. And they have to, they just like roast each other whilst.
And their body parts?
Completely naked.
I mean, if it's, how cold is it in the room?
Right. I felt sorry for all the dudes. I'm like, do we all understand that small, like a penis that's not erect is just not big, like most of the time.
Correct.
I mean, except for there were a couple that I was like, okay, well, he is an exception to the rule.
Shane Gillis was talking about how.
He was in the back shouting at a woman who did not fully get naked about, like, basically, like, shh, where are your tits? I was like, okay.
I had that
But
similar.
I was like, fair.
Sure.
You should have been naked. I did think, sure. I was like, if you're going to sign up for the naked roast battle, we're not pressuring you. You signed up to agree to be fully naked. And the other woman on the show, fully naked. Fully naked.
On her period.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's true.
On her period. Showed up fully naked on her period for a roast battle.
Did that come up?
I don't know. I saw it on Facebook the next
day.
No,
she talked about it, though.
Yeah. The last 30 seconds of this podcast have been my favorite. I had no idea. In my head, logistically, I'm like, I mean, if you just have a, I guess.
They're really, it was like before the roast battle started, everybody had to be, like, because they did it in, like, the warehouse portion, which was, like, a big thing that they kind of like had for the festival.
Is the warehouse portion the main room?
No, it was like this back side of like unused part of like the building that Secret Group's in. But so it was like bigger. But they literally made everyone leave. Like no one could stay. Like not even like bigger names are on the everybody. Like we were standing out there like every like Shane Gillis, everybody's back there. They kick everybody out except the bar staff.
So the audience is not there.
The audience isn't there as they prepare. And then they bring everybody in and they have like every person that works at Skankfest is standing and like if they even see a light come from your phone, you're out of there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I will say that they take it very seriously, but it is quite
in the era of cancellation. To embrace that kind of chaos is a bright light in the
Well, it would
in
be
in the darkness.
Like, but that's the
Steve
thing too.
If
you see
people judges.
On a naked roast battle and you take a picture of them and post it, you're a dick.
Yeah.
Like that's a mean thing
and
to
it's
do.
It's also
sexual
very juvenile,
assault, I would assume.
Yeah,
it's very juvenile. Steve Renazzisi was there.
Yeah, he was the host. He was one of the.
And he was naked.
Yeah. Yep.
You saw his dick?
I mean, he
are you jealous?
He lied about 9/11 and got naked in front of a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Same
he,
set.
He didn't lie again about 9/11, did he?
No, I don't know. I wasn't
there. It's like part of his act now.
He's just like, so I lied about 9/11. What are you going to do about it?
Someone's roast had to have included body parts, right? Like you're really tearing down someone's complete self.
It was a mix of both because it was all of them. Everyone that did the roast, naked roast battle was a Houston comic. That knew the other comic. So, like, in some ways it was, like, there was some, like, back-of-the-room roast where it was, like, you had to know about this person to get the roast. And there were some that were truly just, like, you're, like, I'm making fun of your body
the
parts.
Clear obvious.
Or, like, yeah. I will say Jesse had my favorite joke that's told Drew. He's
Jesse
like,
Payton?
No.
There's some there.
Jesse, I always forget.
James,
the bartender. He's a bartender at Secret, but he also is a comic. But he told Drew that Drew looked like, I'm going to mess this up because I was very drunk when I was there.
I'm
but
so
it was like,
right
you look like a fairy godmother made my dick a real boy. Which I thought was really funny.
You have to process it. What am I missing? I mean,
like my dick grew up to be a real boy, and you're basically a penis. I don't know. It was funny.
Yeah. It's one of those things that sounds really good, the way it's delivered.
It killed.
Yeah, yeah, I bet it did.
So if you're wondering why I was at the Whiskey Social and not at Skankfest...
you didn't want to see...
Youngblood actually messaged me and was like, hey, will you do the Naked Rose Battle?
Oh, yeah, they had someone draw...
And I said... I'm going to be out of town. And I made sure that I was dedicated and documented somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah. I love you, but you look like a gorilla. Like,
yeah, yeah, exactly.
It would have been a this whole is not.
I don't want to, but also, like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Also, I have self-respect.
Exactly. Like, I don't want to do comedy that bad.
Yeah, I mean, there's
sorry,
a lot.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't. I'm good. Thanks.
Well, I mean, I've done open mics at the Secret Group. That's worse than.
Yeah. I've been emotionally naked on stage.
Like, if you want comedy that bad, maybe I don't. It's like that thing where I'm like, maybe I don't want this bad enough.
Yeah.
No, thank you. I'm good.
I bombed at the Secret Group at an open mic the week after George Floyd. I'm good. I don't want to be naked on stage.
Yeah, I bombed that night too.
Yeah, yeah.
Really bad.
We were on the same show.
Yeah, really bad.
Oh man, it was a rough night.
That was a really rough night.
Well, back to the Whiskey Social. I'm glad that you came. I'm sorry you missed it.
Me too.
It was an incredible event. I think we figured out some room issues. We were kind of packed last year, which I think you were there last year. You've been to one or
well,
two.
Well, the one before the pandemic.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been to that one.
Okay, so that was in February, right before the pandemic. Brandon, I wanted to invite, but he was in Jamaica, right?
Indeed. Yep.
Hey, what's the drug policy here? Did you guys partake in...
The drug policy in radio is always the drug policy. It's why people get into radio, so they don't have to take a piss test.
That's the same reason people get into teaching. That's crazy.
Y'all don't take piss tests?
No. Are you kidding?
Nice.
Maybe I should be saying, yeah.
I know what my fallback career is now.
They get paid more than I do in radio, so...
No.
Yeah.
Teacher it is.
Well, I actually work for a very progressive school district as well, who's like, we're not going to... Like, we even when our students get caught with drugs, we don't, like, go at them in the full force. It's like, let's talk, like, do you need treatment? Are you okay? You know what I mean? Oh, you just got caught with weed? Okay, maybe we give you a consequence, but we don't ruin your life.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't think we've talked about this on air, but I had a particular brand rep, someone who works in the spirits industry, give me a chocolate bar with mushrooms in it. So my wife and I tried... chocolate bar with mushrooms in it like a few months back.
Yeah.
How'd it go?
It was really good. It's measured, right? So it was like, I guess it was considered a microdose.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I had 2.5 pieces of chocolate. She had half a piece of chocolate. We watched a movie, like a Hallmark movie, in bed for a few hours, like on a Saturday.
That's what you did on
for 3 days. I just watched Hallmark. Tripping balls.
So that's the thing.
Wondering why I'm not a better husband.
Yeah. There's a lot of crying on my part.
Yeah. He did that for her?
There's.
Oh, God.
Have you looked at his hands?
There's a lot of. It was like having 6 cocktails in an hour.
Yeah.
And being really, like, bored, like, questioning whether or not it's safe for you to drive. Like, it was buzzed.
I'm going to answer that for you. You should never drive.
Well, no. On mushrooms. We weren't driving. It was a very controlled experiment. But it was like being really, really buzzed after 5 or 6 cocktails. And then, but it just went on for like 5 hours, 6 hours. It was forever.
I told you about the last time I took mushrooms, where I lost that human on the river for 12 hours.
Yes. Well, there's video of it too.
Yeah. There's video of us finding
They him. Lost a very large fella. We're on the whiskey, or we're on the floating the river.
We went to go float one of the rivers in, I think it was the San Marcos River, and we bought like a limousine because I thought it was going to be cool, you know, and they were like, we got everything for you.
First of all, it is cool. It's always going to be cool to rent a limousine, especially as an adult.
No, it's not. I was in the limousine and I was like, I wish I would have just drove, you know, like... Like, I was so mad, and they give us our floats and everything, and our friend, he's the only person that didn't take mushrooms, he took another drug.
The limousine gave you floats?
Yeah, the limousine gave us all this stuff, and don't trust them, because they're terrible. So he gets into the river 15 seconds before us, his float immediately pops, and so everybody
else...
Yeah,
he was a very large fella.
Everybody else is on mushrooms, and we all jump into the river.
Not in a sad way.
No, he survived.
But like in a laughable comic way.
He would have not done the Naked Rose Battle.
Yeah.
Like,
well, neither would I.
Yeah.
Neither would I.
We're all in agreement. But we lost him for 8 hours, and he had sleep apnea because he's a big guy. And so he like climbed out of the river, and he was sitting on the riverbank. And he started drinking because he had our cooler beer.
That is
beer.
Terrifying for anyone who found him.
And so he started drinking and he passed out. And he's like laying on the side of the riverbed and he has sleep apnea. And so he's like snoring and barely breathing. So they call like the fire department and the sheriff's department for the thing, and we're just all on the river having a great time, going like, "Well, man, I hope we find Jacob," you know, like. And then 8 hours later, I drove back to San Marcos and I just found him at the campsite.
Yeah, to be clear, they left him. Like, they couldn't find him. Like, eh.
No, it wasn't that we left him.
Did you guys see his float pop?
No, no, we didn't.
I
was just like an hour into the... I was the last person on the river. An hour into the float, I was like, yo, I haven't seen Jacob. And they were like, yeah, his float popped as soon as we got in. Haven't seen him since. And I was like, why wouldn't anybody mention this beforehand? But we took a limousine there.
Wait, what did shrooms have to do with this? You were all on shrooms?
Everybody in the river party was on shrooms except for Jacob. And so no one knew what was going on, and we took a limousine there, so we didn't have cell phones or wallets because they told us there's nowhere to keep them, so you don't.
That's
need
not
a...
true. You get a little water pouch. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That
once again, we're all mushrooms.
Says the teacher.
Yeah. Says the teacher to the guy that used to live in a van. Why don't you just get a waterproof pouch to take care of yourself? You make great decisions, Charles. Come on. And so the limousine told us that we had to leave, otherwise we would all be stranded, and no one had cell phones. So we were like, okay, take us back to our apartment. So we took her back to our apartment, and then after waiting until the limos closed, then I drove back to San Marcos and found him sunburned.
Where was he?
He had made it back.
The ambulance drove him?
He made it back to the area where we're like the campground for the floaters. Like where they drop off. And so like the first thing I do, I pull up and I go, so we like lost our friend earlier. And he was like, holy shit, dude. I never thought that you would, I didn't think you guys were coming back for him. And he just started running down the hill, waving and screaming. He's going, they're here, they're here. And the guy that we lost, like the cops told him because he was so drunk by the time they found him that they were going to take him in for public intoxication. And he was like, oh, crap, the cops are here. And so, like, we're driving, and he's, like, freaking out. And then he sees us, and he's like, oh, but, like...
They let him go?
Yeah, they let him go. And
yeah, so the moral of that story is it's not for me. We enjoyed that one night.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But it just goes on too long. And I'm utterly surprised at how accepting the world is now of mushrooms. Like, everyone I know since that one guy within the spirits industry gave it to me, I've... talked to like 17 other guys.
I have tons of friends who microdose on them.
Yeah, yeah, all the time,
like every day.
I don't like microdosing. I'll tell you, I tried that.
You want to go deep?
Oh, it's not that I want to go deep. Is that like I've had a deadbeat dad before, you
sure.
know?
Yeah.
And like when you microdose,
must be nice.
When you microdose, it's all the excitement that you're about to go. You
but
know,
not
off
quite
into,
there.
But you never do. So it's just like you're sitting
like
on a street
edging.
Corner waiting for your dad to come pick you up for the weekend. And you're just like, he's going to be here. He's going to be here. He never shows up.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like,
one
so
time,
I don't microdose.
I have two friends that do like catering, like, you know, like they do like pop up and stuff. And they were supposed to cater this event that then got canceled. They were like, it was for like a band or something.
Oh,
they
yeah.
Cook for them. But then right like at the last minute, like, so they found out that night, okay, you don't have to be there at like 5 a.m. or whatever. So then they were just like, all right, party. You know, and they just
get
like shit faced.
Food and...
Yeah, they get like shit faced that night. No, they hadn't even like made most of it. They prepped a little, but they would have to wake up at like 5 a.m. to start prepping, but now they don't. So they get just like shit faced, and then they get woken up at like 4:30 from a call. It's like, actually, we are going to need you to do it.
No,
and I ran into them because then they had that, and then they were cooking at like Poison Girl or something, like doing like a pop up there, and I like ran into them, and he was like one of my friends, though. I just always remember he goes, yeah, I don't know, we woke up and I was like drunk, so I've just been like, you know, just like microdosing whiskey all day. And I'm like, no, you've just been taking shots of whiskey all day. That is not what microdosing is.
Whiskey.
I'm like, you just don't like, it's like you're just prescribed.
When someone
he ordered a single instead of a double, I'm microdosing.
You've been drinking all day. That's what you've been.
When someone uses like newer terminology to sound cool, like you mean taking sips?
Yeah, exactly.
You mean being responsible?
Yeah.
You're going to drink all day.
It was just so funny to me. It's like, I've just been microdosing whiskey. I'm like, you've been taking shots of whiskey.
It's like that that Lone Star, like the 24-hour beer that they came out with, like the 1.2% beer so you can drink all day.
Nonstop. You know, that's how we naturally developed alcohol, our relationship with alcohol, is originally everything was fermented like naturally, 1%, 2%, 3%. So you could literally drink nonstop all day and never get fully drunk, just a little buzzed.
Yeah.
And then we became experts at making this stuff.
At making gasoline. At
distilling and making gasoline.
Yeah.
So I didn't know they had one.
Yeah, they have one now. But that's like a microdose beer.
Is that considered responsible? It's out? What's it called?
I think it's like Lone Star All Day or something like
Lone
that.
Lone Star All Day? Can you look that up?
Lone Star All Day.
It was like...
It seems like... like it'd be illegal.
The commercial was like, even like, it was like
responsibly, and the parenthesis says meaning not all day.
2017
Lone Star 24/7
Yeah.
27/27
Look at the article date. Oh, it says 2019 February 27, 2019
Lone Star 24/7
Hey.
Is that real?
Yes, yeah,
so it's a real thing.
That seems like it had to have been put a stop to it, because there's these rules around like we can't say at the Whiskey Social, and I could talk about it after the fact.
Right.
But we're not allowed to promote the Whiskey Social as an unlimited drinking event, even though technically it's unlimited up to the point that you're intoxicated, which varies person to person.
Right. Yeah.
So, but we can't use the word literally. It's illegal to say unlimited. And I wonder if you can have a beer
called 24/7
that encourages all day drinking.
What about establishments that sell bottomless mimosas or something bottomless like that? Are they like?
Yeah, they're not supposed to. They're not supposed to do that either.
They're not supposed to do
that. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Bottomless is and here's the thing: they can, they're not going to get caught saying it verbally, but if it's in printed materials and someone complains, that's a problem.
What about Facebook posts? Because I heard that like you're not supposed to advertise like drink specials. You know, like on Facebook, like if someone's like, we got $5 margaritas, like you're not supposed to technically say that. Like
the pricing. I mean, that doesn't seem like an issue, because we do Facebook advertising. No,
because bars around town, when their Instagram posts, they're like, they're happy.
Yeah, I always thought it was weird when someone told me that was illegal.
$3 wells or whatever. And the secret group doesn't, like, I don't think that's illegal, because you're just saying, like, we got $3 wells. Like, that's just menu prices.
You've got to do targeted advertising, and it can't encourage, like, excessiveness. Sort of thing, but yeah. So
it's not available anymore.
It's not available anymore. Just FYI, okay, you cannot buy it. But it was available, and HEB actually carried it.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm wondering, if someone put a stop to it because it's advertising. Like, what else is there now from Lone Star? Do they have like
put your thoughts in the comment section. Smash that.
Yeah, should we drink 24/7?
Oh, that's so gross. it's just it's a weird thing, man. You can't. There's all these rules around.
Now it's called Lone Star until you decide you don't want it anymore. Yeah.
Lone Star.
Not as catchy.
Yeah, Lone Star until you see more stars.
Yeah, they got everything. Texas Light. I'm sure there's probably just a light option that's like that super t-shirt. Light or a non-op option.
And he just starts shopping.
Can you just add that to my cart, please?
Rio Jade.
What's Rio Jade?
Yeah, see, while you're looking, just see if there's anything
that's like
super
seltzers?
Low. Yeah, they do have, everyone's doing seltzers. Which is going to stop, by the way.
Really?
Not stop. It's gonna drop
peak
precipitously. So
it's still on their website,
though. It's still on their
though.
Website.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Maybe they just can't sell it in Texas?
Maybe.
Yeah, so that rule is
a TABC
currently
thing.
Thing with TABC.
Yeah.
So it might be a different state. But there's also Discus is distilled spirit, so that's not. I don't know. That's pretty crazy.
Breaking news, though. No more seltzers?
No, not no more seltzers. What it is
what are the hoggers going to do?
Especially during the pandemic, everybody was going apeshit over Truly's and what's the other one? White Claws. Everyone was working on all the projections. We're seeing like this crazy growth. And then in Q2 and Q3 of this year, all of it
dropped
to like, you went from like seeing 100, 200, 300% growth to like 7% growth. And they were like, what the fuck? And they just put so much money into seltzers that they were like, well, now we have to, like a lot of people stop production just to work through what they currently have because they're afraid they're going to be stuck with a lot of
leftovers. Right, with it, like, with
the. I read like an article about how Trevor Wallace, that, thank you. That comedian Trevor Wallace, like he was directly, they linked it all the way back to like a video that he got paid for to do White Claw.
That kicked off
their growth. And like after that video went viral, like their numbers just like skyrocketed.
White Claw and then Truly, I think it's the number one now. Truly is like.
Tastes better.
Oh, it tastes amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So sorry, let's backtrack because I know we're all over the place here. So. You're drinking the 30-year-old cognac. The Whiskey Social was a hit.
It was great.
I've decided I don't like mushrooms. I don't hate them. I don't like not having control. I mean, we were fine, but...
Did your wife bring out the crystals?
No. like the moon rocks or something.
Well, that's a whole different drug, moon rocks.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I'm the same way, though, with hallucinogenic. Like, I don't do... I smoke
it's
weed.
It's not for me.
But I can't... Like, it's. I think it's like I started doing them at a too late of a point in my life where I have, like... control issues now, and I have like this like idea of like losing control of myself.
Sure.
Like, is just not a comfortable state for me to be in, because I think like with like the first time I tried weed, I was like in my late 20s, and I ate it, and I proceeded to just freak the hell out. Oh, it was like not good.
Got a lot of demons.
No, but it was just like I was like hallucinating, and I didn't know when it would end. Do you know what I mean? Like, even like when I was younger and like drinking, of course, like I learned like, okay, this will eventually end and I'll be okay. But with that, at the first time I did it, I was like, this is just my life forever. And I'm on weed, so it's making me paranoid that that's probably the truth.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And so like the first time I did it, it was like, oh, this was bad. And then afterwards, like I didn't do it for years. And then I just started smoking it again. And now I have like a much healthier, like now I'm
healthier,
like I'm fine.
Perception of it, yeah.
But like, that's why I've never, like I can't, like people are like, have you ever done shrooms or acid or anything? And I'm just like,
no.
I don't want to ruin everybody's day because I'm going to do it and just like freak out. But I also don't want to do it alone, because then if I freak out, I'm like, where is someone? Like, so I'm just like, I think I'm good.
I'm with you. I want the self-control. It's not my
thing. That's my own shit, though. Like, I'm like, I admire people who can just, like, do acid and be like, yeah, it was great. Because I'm like, it sounds
someone
cool.
Someone said microdosing acid, and I was like.
That's like the only thing.
People do that.
Microdose acid?
Yeah, which is crazy, because it's already in such a small thing.
Yeah.
It's like, man, you gotta really be dedicated.
I'm good. I enjoy. There's a reason why they call it the king of intoxicants, alcohol. You can get, it's perfectly measured. You know how far you can get. You know it's only gonna be a couple hours after.
I can't.
It's just much
alcohol
worse
for me
body.
Is like
just way worse for your body.
Yeah.
Mushrooms are actually perfectly healthy for you. There's nothing. You're not gonna overdose. You can't die from it. Like.
Yeah.
If you're going to do mushrooms arguably are far more healthier than alcohol.
Yeah.
You can't overdose. You just can't die of an overdose.
Yeah. You can trip for a couple of days if you wanted to. But
the mushroom expert, he's been shaking his head off camera this whole time.
It's pretty.
He's like, these noobs.
You just need to, we just need to be real delicate with our language. You can definitely overdose on it. Like, or any drug for that
matter.
Go
ahead and put a disclaimer.
Or edibles. It's in your story.
Yeah.
Go ahead and put a disclaimer here. Don't listen to the show for anything. I have no idea.
That's right. And Dusty the teacher admires people who do acid. So there you go.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I tell my students all the time, I'm like, one of my favorite stories, because I'm like a huge baseball fan, is there was a pitcher for the Pirates named Doc Ellis, and he once pitched a perfect game, a no-hitter.
On mushrooms?
He was on acid the entire time.
Tripping balls.
And it's like insane, like watching him. Like, he woke up, he was on one side of, like, I think he was in.
Do you remember everything on acid?
Yeah, for the most part.
He remembers that he was like, if you literally watch him, like one ball he just throws into the ground, like he's like running around and like, but pitched a perfect game and the Pirates won. But no, I tell my students that story all the time. I'm like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Because that's insanely cool. How is that not cool?
Yeah. I mean, I'm fully support anyone who wants to try something in that realm. Like, we've even had conversations with our daughters about it. Like, how do you feel about this? I'm like, at this age, it might come up.
Stay away from
acid.
Yeah.
Stay away from.
You're a better dad than my dad.
I always tell my students.
Your dad was like, "You want to buy some?"
Yeah. Whenever. That's 100% like one of our friends from childhood was. I'm not gonna say his name on
just
air.
Just say his first initial last name.
GM.
No.
GMP.
First initial.
No,
full
it is
last name.
No.
Greg.
GMP. Just say his address.
GMP. You know that is.
I do?
Yeah.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He asked me to. Yes.
Yeah. So when I was a kid, he was like getting into that and he didn't know what he was doing. And so he was trying to sell me some acid. And I was probably like 13 or 14.
Oh my God. No.
And so I called my dad,
terrified,
who was a drug dealer. And I was like, hey, so my friend wants to give me this acid. And he goes, oh, what are you doing tomorrow? And I said, it's Saturday. And he goes, take 3 hits. You'll have a great time.
Oh, my God.
3 hits?
Yeah,
you were 13?
I was like 13. I was probably 14. I was probably 14 because I was like in ninth grade.
Sure.
You know? And so I bought 3 hits from my friend who didn't know what he was doing.
What does acid cost?
Cheap. $5.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not expensive.
Yeah, it's like super cheap.
Why do people do Coke?
Because it's like a different thing.
Coke is like
a both right, y'all so at the same exact time shake your head like this idiot asking a dumb question about different thing.
But so the guy put two hits of acid on every sweet tart that I bought. So I ended up taking six hits of acid as my first experience into psychedelics.
30-year-old cognac's really good.
Yeah.
It is.
It was a great time.
It's sick. I'm gonna have
one. And yeah, that's why I like hallucinogens more than alcohol, because I can not stop drinking.
Look at the sad twist of that ending.
My students always tell my students, handle your irresponsibility responsibly.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to do something, don't put it on video. Make sure you're with people that you trust.
If you do put it on video, make sure you get a lot of engagement.
Yeah.
we have.
So I grew up with this kind of, like, I had this sort of... my dad and I had this like sort of thing where he knew, like, I was the youngest of three girls, but just three children. Sure. And so by that, they have it all like figured out.
Sure.
So like, I would be like, hey dad, I'm leaving. He'd be like, where are you going? And I'm like, oh, I'm going over to my friend's house. And he'd look at me like, where are you going? So we had a kind of thing where I'm like, look, I'm going to my friend's house. Yes, there's going to be alcohol. Yes, I'm probably going to drink. And it was like this understanding that we had, because it's better that he knew that his daughter was like where I was and what I was doing than like, I don't know where she is.
It's his name too, right? Dusty?
And it's the same name. Yeah. His name's Dusty too. Yeah. But yeah, so it was like this thing. And there were times where he was like, I don't like this, because he'd ask me about it. And if he didn't like the situation, he'd let me know.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Where he's like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, blah, blah, blah. But like, it was always just sort of an understanding we had, because like, but then also like, most of high school, my friends were all Mormons, and so they didn't do anything. So I was like, hey, Dad, I'm going over to Bruce's house, and it's like 1 a.m. And he's like, yeah, what are you guys going to do? Play video games or go swimming? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah,
so
sure. We're going to Bible study.
That's really what we did, though. Like, my friends were goody-two-shoes, like, for the most part. Like, I didn't start going to parties until I was, like, in, like, 11th or 12th grade, because I just wasn't popular.
That's,
nor attractive.
That's, well, same.
It was almost like sad when my parents were like,
look at us
now. Yeah.
Not like they're
going to try anything.
Dude, that's so funny. I saw that same GMP, that same guy that we grew up with. You know, we don't have to say his name.
He's still doing acid?
No, definitely not.
He just asked me to marry him and his fiance.
Oh.
I'm thinking about, we're talking about doing an agave social on that day that I'm going to move just to be their officiator.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I have my minister's license. I'm very cool.
Very cool.
Very accomplished minister.
Very.
greatest story ever is, he was the specific reason our school district stopped allowing kids, like my daughter, when she got my 6-year-old in elementary school, they encourage the kids to bring snacks with them to class and a bottle of water. Like, so they get hungry during class, they can drink, they can eat. It's great, very productive school district that's like, oh, kids need to eat. They're hungry. No, that guy specifically got water bottles banned because he filled it full of vodka one day in class and was like, I'll drink the bottle of water in class and that'll be cool. He drank the whole bottle, fell out of his desk, and threw up on the floor in front of the whole class.
Oh, my God.
And they were like, that's not water.
Yeah. I had a student who brought brownies to school, gave them to students in my classroom, and it had weed in them. And I had students who were freaking out because they didn't know that it happened. And luckily for me,
that's a criminal offense.
She got in so much trouble. She did it at, like, the
end
of class.
Shout out to being a girl. Thank God. Yeah.
I'd be so happy. So like, if it happened to
like
me,
I guess she did it towards the end of class, and it was only, like, two or three other students that did it. So it was, like, 10 or... like about 10 minutes before my class ended. So they went to their other classes, and that's when they realized like what had happened.
I wasn't there
that day. I had a substitute. But I came back to school the next day, and it's like, I get to school and my principal's like, I need to talk to you immediately. And I'm just like, what happened? And she's like telling me all this, and I'm like, wow, what? Oh my God.
So,
the government used to do in the 50s.
What? So. How? Oh my God.
This is why women are worse than men for a second. Let's approach this objectively.
All right, objectively.
So if she
take this all as facts, this is 100% the words of ESPN Radio.
If all the evidence was eaten, why? The only way anybody would know is if they told on themselves, right? Like, she'd have to admit
they didn't know,
right? which means she had to have admitted or told someone what she did. A guy would have denied on his deathbed that he did anything.
Oh, so you're saying this is why women aren't as smart as men, but why women are why men are terrible people.
Correct. Correct. Okay. Correct. We're on the same page. We're alive. Yeah. Yeah. So.
I'm not admitting that's abolish, true, by the way.
Abolish the better patriarchy. You know?
Yeah, this is like that Dave Chappelle joke where he's like,
you need to abolish all these smart men and get them the hell out of here.
Dave Chappelle's like, I agree with the Me Too movement. I just didn't agree with the way you went about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, it's absolutely the same thing. It's like, she could have just said, you had a lot to say on that, huh? She could have just said that, I have no idea what you're talking about. I just brought brownies. Prove it was me.
Well, that's, yeah, immediately. I mean, if all you go, prove it's me, I go, it was you. Yeah.
Yes, but you can't prove it's me, and that's all you need a court of law.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, which is annoying, because I get into a lot of Facebook arguments with lawyers.
Why? Do you argue with people on Facebook?
No, because,
I mean, I do too.
I find it fun.
It's Santran. I love arguing with Santran because he's a lawyer.
Did you just call him
Santran?
My son's name is...
Like
Son. All my friends that had it spelled the same way, it was Son, and they're Vietnamese, but I didn't know.
Right, maybe they're right.
It doesn't matter. I don't know. But anyways, I like to argue with him on Facebook because he's a lawyer.
About his name, the pronunciation of his own name.
And this is why I'm so bad at arguing with him. He's a lawyer, and he's so good at like dedicating like all of his facts like that. But like some things that he says, I'm just like, no, you're wrong, but I don't know how to prove it. You know?
I don't know how to say it.
So I'm just going to argue all the time.
I tell them all the time because I teach rhetoric. I'm like, the art of rhetoric is also making people think that they're wrong when you're actually wrong.
Sure.
Because that's, I mean, essentially, there are many cases where that's exactly what a lawyer does.
Yeah. The greatest,
that's their job.
The greatest, most simplified argument of all time was in Thank
the
You for Smoking.
The gloves don't fit. No.
Close. Thank You for Smoking. He goes, look, if two people are arguing, the guy was, it was about a guy who lobbied for the tobacco industry. He goes, if you want to win an argument, two people are arguing about which ice cream flavor is the best. You say vanilla, she says chocolate. You don't have to prove vanilla is the best. You just have to prove that chocolate's not the best.
Yeah.
Which is a different approach. And by default, people will think that you're right. You're absolutely right. Rhetoric is a... And don't get me wrong. There are times that live in person, I'm so infuriated by something so stupid that I can't get my words out. You give me enough time behind to type it out and delete and type it out and
That's not how I like the Facebook argue. I like the Facebook argue off the cuff, straight from the heart. You know, like, I don't think you're right at this at all. You know? Just... Like I want to, the point is like I want to argue with somebody in person. I work from home, and like you can only yell at your dog.
This is why Charles wants to be back in the office, so he can argue with people in person.
In person, you know, like
oh my god,
a blank stare from a dog only does so much.
I love it when my students are like, look at this guy I'm arguing with on Facebook, and I'm like, I will not. Like, help me win this argument. I was like, I won't do that.
I've gotten better about it. Every once in a while, I get sucked into something in the bourbon forums, but mostly my main Facebook has gotten to a point where I've learned to just don't.
Win the argument.
All of our conservative friends growing up, their friends, and then all of my new friends, all of my newer adult relationships.
Also conservative friends.
No.
My better conservative friends.
They're all liberal. They're all very left-leaning. And I'm like, okay, so I'm there's not going to be a productive conversation here. And it's tough. Every once in a while...
I think what... The problem with Facebook arguing, because I talk a lot to my students about this, and internet arguing in general, is it is all... online, it is all in type, where you don't get to see a person, hear a person, or see their interactions. And also, because we have arguments in my class, like on purpose, and I always try to tell my students the point of an argument is not to win, but to be understood and to understand.
That's how
but
it
most people
should be.
Don't want to leave. They want
what
to
a dumb female answer.
Arguments are meant to be won.
What a fucking loser!
Sounds like someone who's never won an argument. You dumb bitch.
Her words, not mine.
But I feel like
I need a spot on Monday. So
nobody's trying to understand anybody. Everybody's just trying. There's a I will say there's a podcast right. Like if you listen to The Daily, it's like a podcast, but they're talking about school boards right now.
Sure.
And there was this one instance in Philadelphia where there's a school board member who kind of said just that, where he was like, "No one is going to agree on things anymore because like COVID and like politics have made you all crazy."
Sure.
Where no one came here to understand
anybody.
Tribal
mentality.
Everyone just came here to yell and accuse. And he had like a death threat against him because of a vote he had made on like a mask like decision.
Sure.
And it's just like insane. But it's like so like this is like what's so scary to me, because like I really do hate that this is like where we just can't even just have a conversation where I leave and say, I don't feel that way.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's like, I try to do that all the time with people and they're like, well, no, before. And I'm just like, but no, like we can just disagree. Me disagreeing with you doesn't, it just means we're not going to reach an agreement. So that's fine. We can still be cool. But if you keep pushing it, that's what makes it not cool.
Sure. There's a habit now of like, for instance, leading up to the Whiskey Social, we had a few people email us and specifically ask, okay, so this is the Grand Champagne 21 year. I'm excited for you to try this. As much as I love the 30 year, it's kind of softer and older. This is phenomenal. And you can only get it in one place in Houston.
And he was like, that's this podcast.
But he can't tell you where it is.
No. It's Gulf Coast Distillers. We're selling it out of our tasting room. 5610 Clinton Drive. What was my point? What were we talking about? Leading up to the Whiskey Social, there was these emails we got. Excellent. I'm very happy with it. These emails we got specifically saying, what COVID protocols are you taking in place for the Whiskey Social? And in my head, I wanted to say, in a room full of 1,800 people who are pulling their mask down to drink, if they're doing this the whole night, then there's no point to wear the mask. The mask is a formality.
Right.
If we ask them for vaccination proof, you're going to piss off half the crowd.
Right.
If we don't ask for vaccination, that's going to piss off the other half. And there's not something we can win. I mean, as much as I love the secret group, there's a bit of a contradiction of not requiring some famous comedians, but requiring non-famous comedians to not be vaccinated. So it's like, you're doing what you think is best, but it's an impossible situation all the way around.
I think it's an impossible situation, and that's why I think like each person that runs their business and does their thing has the freedom to do it as they want to do it. So like if you choose to do it the way you do it, that's fine. And if I don't like it, then I won't go to your thing.
Sure.
And like that's the thing too, is because I require comics to be vaccinated to do open mic, and when they get mad, I'm like, then go do comedy somewhere else. There's tons of places to do comedy around the city. I'm doing this because I want my comics on stage to feel safe. And like, that's my choice. Like,
sure.
I get to make that choice. And if you don't want to make that choice, that's totally fine.
Correct.
And
like, I'm with you 100%.
Yeah.
I think that's the reasonable approach, the most reasonable approach.
Yeah.
You're not going to win with anything you decide. But it is the
demonizing other side is my problem. If I choose to say they do something that I don't like and I don't approve of, cool, then just don't do that thing and walk away from it. But if you like go out of your way, I would have gone to the Whiskey Social. I'm vaccinated, whatever.
Sure.
But like, I'll have comics that like they ask how to do the mic, and I'm like, okay, here's how signups work. Also, you need to prove you've been vaccinated. And I'll just have people email me like, oh, well, this is easy. Never mind. Fuck you. And I'm just like, why'd you have to do that? Like, you could have just said never mind, or just not replied. Like, why? Like, the fact that you have to be mad at me. And if you think you're going to engage me in that way, I don't know if you know this, but blocking you is a real thing, and I don't need you on my mic.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But it's just like, why do you have to be so angry towards
you
someone?
You don't need someone to do 5 minutes of shitty comedy?
Yeah, exactly.
Are you sure?
Exactly. But like, that's
she
the
needs
thing.
Me to do it this week. probably.
Is that why you're leaning
17,
here?
16, 17.
No,
I just... I'm kidding.
He's like, I got COVID, I got herpes, and I'm vaccinated.
Yeah. There's just a way to like either if you don't like something, then don't do it. And if you know what I mean? But it's like, why do you have to go out of your way? That's just... That to me is like, why do you want to waste your time doing that?
We would reply to the emails. There's only one email I didn't reply to. They emailed me like some benign question, like, oh, what time does VIP start? And then I replied, and then they replied back, oh, also, what are you guys doing for COVID protocols? Are you guys taking temps? Are you doing this? Are you doing that? And then listed 7 links to different CDC websites.
Jesus.
About current rates, Houston's rates, Harris County rates. Like, and I'm like, I'm not responding to this.
No,
I would love to respond to this. Everyone else has said, look, all the workers are vaccinated. I'm vaccinated. We're not requiring or checking any guests to be there. You can either choose. But know that going into it and then just decide not to come.
Yeah.
Yeah, people like that. Like, during the pandemic, everybody just kind of found the one thing that was going to keep them going. You know, it was like some people chose to bake bread, you know, for the entire pandemic. Some people got in shape.
I went back to college.
Some people drank a lot and recorded it.
Some people drank a lot and ran around naked in a field. No, it was the day before they announced that they were shutting down Houston.
So it was like February last year.
Yeah, because I was like, I don't have work tomorrow, obviously. I'm just going to get shit-faced. And so I just, you know, but yeah. But it was just like some people like that, though, like they chose to like focus on the virus and like everything. So like their whole world for like the last 2 years is like them and how they're going to protect themselves and their family and their loved ones and stuff like that. And you and I have had like some conversations about being vaccinated and stuff. But I was unsure about it for a long time.
He asked me if he should. I was like, yeah, I
literally got vaccinated because I like doing comedy, you know, like
he goes, hey man, I need you to logically walk me through this. Should I or shouldn't I do this? And I was like, you're healthy. I mean, you wouldn't know by looking at him, but he's
I'm a very low resting heart rate. Yeah,
he's extremely low resting heart rate. No, but I said, I think you should. I did not get COVID, but I think you should. And he.
Which one is the one we're drinking?
The one we're drinking right now is this one, the 21 year. 21 year. It's good, right?
It is.
He's like, okay. I had a logical conversation with Chris. We agreed. He got it done. I got it done. I appreciate this approach of discourse, yeah. But also if you had chosen not to, I'm
man. I've been to other open mics in the city, and honestly, it's worth just getting jabbed. You know, it's just,
I will say, and I hate to say this, but it is true. From just, and this is all personal research, if you will, so it's not valid. But judging by the comics that got vaccinated versus ones that didn't. Most of the good ones did, and I'm not saying all of them. There've been a few that I'm very sad because I'm like,
you could guess automatically just by looking at it.
But there were a few that I knew that are good comics that I really like. That I was like, I know they're not going to get vaccinated. I just know them, and I knew
there's a couple of pieces of shit that work here that you could just look at them and just.
But there are a couple comics where they're like, I'm not getting vaccinated. I'm like, that's fine. I'm so now I just Whew. I can yeah. tell you no for the reason that's easy.
The easy reason. And not just be like, Charles, look.
Oh, we just
quit emailing in.
it's interesting. I just don't get the anger. But one of my favorite jokes, he worked the comedy showcase I did. Alan, he does the marriage night.
No, Alan Iverson.
Alan Adams.
We
talking about jokes here?
Hey! One of my favorite jokes he told, as soon as he got on stage, he was like, man, COVID's crazy, and I'm going to ruin and butcher this joke, but I'm going to tell it. He goes, if you don't get the vaccination, then you can get COVID and you can spread it. And if you do get the vaccination, you can still get COVID and you can spread it. It was like pointing out that whether you get it or you don't get it,
but that's also ignoring the science behind the fact that they're just like, it's a highly less likely.
Their heart rate is
matter.
True.
It's the idea that people just like, I was like you ignore science. It's so like, I don't know.
So let me ask you.
I got COVID from a vaccinated comic. And
you got it from
well, you don't have to say his name.
Yeah, I got it from AR. I did his podcast and I got it. And then like 2 days later they were like, you have to be vaccinated to perform, and I'm like, I've already gotten COVID twice, like, you know, it was like,
he emailed me and I was like, get vaccinated. He was like, I was, and I was like, that sucks.
so back to your point, I am pro vaccine. But I also understand the hesitancy of it.
Pro-vaccine and healing.
And if you're hesitant about it, hesitant about it. You're just not going to do my mic because that's something that I want to, because it's also not just about me. It's about, I know that I have comics on that show who it matters to them that people are vaccinated. Sure. And it's about, and those people are also like good comics.
Sure.
And like I said, like, it just the math for me is like, oh, number of people that are good and are vaccinated, it matters to them versus the number of people.
Oh, I bet
that
there is
I don't know
precipitous
about
difference.
Versus just like, and it's just like, that's how I choose to run my mic. If you don't want to run your mic that way, don't. It's mine. I get to do the thing how I want to do the thing.
I bet there's a large difference in those that are actually good comics, logical, well-thinking adults that are good at comedy. The average rate of vaccination versus less accomplished, I bet.
I mean, honestly, you could do the test yourself. You could go to Secret Group on Sunday night for the open mic, and then leave the Secret Group and go to the other Sunday mic and just watch.
What's the other Sunday mic?
It's at a bar in Washington, Liberty Station.
It's a bit more highfalutin.
No, 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 not at all. But like the secret group is like they require vaccination.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And so you can like see the level of comics that night and then go to the next open mic.
I hate to go against what I said earlier, but also there's a difference between comics who want to do the mic at the secret group, which is in like an established comedy club, and comics who want to do a mic in like a bar that it doesn't have the greatest reputation for an open mic to begin with, even before.
You're not talking about your mic. I was like, I love performing.
No. But the thing is like Rudd's is not just good because we require vaccination. It's the longest running open mic that everybody knows about. Secret Group is an established comedy club where comics want to go and perform in hopes of getting up, and they know the audience is going to be there because they know it's a comedy club. Whereas Liberty Station, is a newer open mic that not a lot of people know about.
Sure.
So the fact that it's not as good goes just... I just want to say, it does...
For those at home, Dusty's using her hand cursively write out what she's saying in the cast.
And I'm just going back and highlighting certain parts of it. Because I do think that you're right in there. Like, both Rudd's and Secret Group have, pedigree.
Yeah.
But, they're also the only two bars in Houston that require it. And so, when you go watch the people that get on the shows, because it's still show up, sign up on those, stuff like that. So when you watch those people, you're like, oh, okay, these people are pretty serious. And then you go to another, and then, I'm still fairly new to the scene. I've been doing it for, 2 years now or something like that. And I go to, Liberty Station, and I go, who the hell are these people?
People you never heard of.
Yeah, and one guy was like, yeah, I've been doing it since, March 2019. I'm like, you started before me.
And I'm like, they're like, I'm the new comedy. I'm like, I have no idea who you are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's just so you can see.
But it's a really big spread out scene too.
Yeah, it very is. But it's also you're not funny if you're vaccinated or not vaccinated. But
sure.
It's interesting to see the data and the comics that I thought that this person would never get vaccinated. And, and then all of a sudden they start showing up on the list, and you're like, ooh, what did Rush Limbaugh tell you?
Did you say limb bomb?
Yeah. Rush limp lip bomb.
Yeah.
Because he'd be popping,
Limp bog.
Yeah.
Limp hog.
Speaking of limp hog, so the nude roast. I didn't mean to go down this rabbit hole. I actually wanted to talk to you about Choopies, which we've...
Oh, yeah.
Are you comfortable talking about it?
Well, I mean, right now, I'm comfortable talking about it because, I'm the kind of person that needs to, speak it into existence for my own self.
Accountability standpoint, if you talk about it and you don't follow through.
Right. Choopies,
Like a thing for dogs.
You know what Moon Tower is?
Moon Tower Inn.
Moon Tower is great beer spot and hot dog spot.
Same concept, but we're going to be doing sandwiches. Ooh. Choopy is my cat's name.
Okay.
We call him Chupacabra because he's a terrorist.
Ah. Okay.
And so
I read somewhere once that, as a side note, that cats are directly responsible for the extinction of no less than 50 species.
Yeah, just in Australia alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can go on the sidebar because I read a lot of weird internet things. Yeah. But Australia had a rodent problem.
Same thing with people that have been unvaccinated. I'm sorry.
And that's why it took me so long to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
I can read 10-to-1 articles about why you shouldn't do it. But
it's the cognac speaking.
But it's just the cognac. It's the Henny.
I did drums before this.
I thought about it, but Chris would be so mad if I just showed up and I was like,
I wouldn't be mad. We would just,
a sandwich place that sells.
Yeah,
beer.
So
the logo's already designed.
Yeah, already has a logo.
Incredible.
You got Zahid behind this?
No. Okay. My adopted brother is a graphic designer.
Oh, okay.
And so he did it.
Where's it going to be?
Can you believe the state approved that family tree for adopting? More than, you know what I mean?
Not only adoption.
I didn't know it was this bad.
Chuck?
No.
Yeah, I put up a fight. I'll let it slide eventually.
Okay.
Not only adoption, but we had foreign exchange students. So
was a drug dealer?
People would send their kids from China, France, and then they would hang out with me and I would take them to Walmart. I would go, "Have you ever seen a dairy aisle?" And they would go, "No." And I'd go, "Oh, you're in for a treat."
You're in for a treat.
I love that Chinese foreign exchange students are impressed by things that also impress my father.
Yeah. They got a good dairy aisle. Yeah, exactly.
Is there a financial incentive for adopting children?
Yes. I'm sure there is. Yeah.
Yes, that's, oh, that's okay.
That makes sense.
That's a huge problem.
It's starting to line up, so to speak. Yeah. My parents are too stupid.
It's a side hustle. What do you do for a side hustle? I buy kids.
My parents were way too stupid to be like, whoa, side hustle. My parents were not entrepreneurs. But your parents have inspired an entrepreneur yourself. So, Chupies.
So, anyways, Chupies is a restaurant. I love places where I can go to, and it's like a pickup. You know, you like order at one window, pick up at another window, go to a table, sit there and hang out with your friends forever. And Chris and I have had like conversations about like there's not a lot of like legacy places in Houston. Where,
it's
like,
one of the saddest aspects of Houston that no one talks about. That, in, you know, when you talk about New York or New Jersey, you talk about legacy steakhouses that have been there 100 years.
People that have been there,
like bars that have been there 100 years.
It's a very Guy Fieri kind of thing you're going for. I get this.
Yeah, so Houston has not many legacy places that aren't Papa's or, you know, the Landry's. Gringos. Right. Yeah, Papa's and Landry's are these big corporate structured things, but mom and pop bars and restaurants are, the turnover rate is horribly sad. In fact, and Brandon, feel free to speak up, one of the biggest click rate articles we get here at Culture Map are the top 10 new openings or closings of restaurants here in Houston.
In fact, a lot of the more successful chefs know what the cycle is, the life cycle in Houston, and they stay ahead of it. So if they have, you know, a restaurant that's been in existence for a few years, they get ahead of it, rename it, repackage it, and call it something else, change the menu up, and then that's the new restaurant. That's the new hot thing, because Houston's such a transient city.
Yeah,
everyone's
exactly.
looking
that's
for the
very,
hot new thing.
Yeah, I mean, just say
new,
Chris Shepherd. It's
different.
Fine.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
I didn't say that.
Is that that's why they named the street Shepherd? No, I'm just kidding.
No.
I'm joking.
They're going to rename it soon.
But they did do that with that show. Underbelly. With that, was it Underbelly? The five, it has the five symbols? And
yeah,
then,
it's the one right across the street from Poison Girl, that one.
Yeah. Every year or every 2 years, or it's a cycle.
They rename it.
They
make it
rechange
a better
it,
thing.
Change the menu, change it. And that's the entire thing that really bums me out, is we have such a great food scene, a phenomenal bar scene, a great whiskey scene, obviously. I'm very proud of it. But there is this cycle of no legacies other than individual celebrities. Like Hugo is a...
You mean just in the restaurant scene?
Yes.
No, but even in things like architecture. You know what I mean? Like we're always...
Oh, no. I'm talking about specifically in food and beverage.
But
I used to be a
above.
Member of the... Yeah.
But Houston food and beverage...
Alliance. So like we can talk all day about how
which
nobody
one?
Gives a shit about buildings in this city.
It's phenomenal, right?
Cool as fuck.
So the food and beverage scene is the same. Poison Girl's only not even 10 years old.
Poison Girl is way over than 10 years old.
I thought it was 2009.
They're 16 years old.
Okay, but that is nothing.
It is more than 10 years.
Okay, more than 10 isn't the point.
Yeah, okay.
But Reserve 101 is like 12 or 13 as well. The our idea of legacy restaurants and bars in Houston are less than
sub
two 20, decades.
Yeah.
Sub 20. I mean, some of the really,
but that's also
really...
just because of like how this, like what he's saying, like, we kick people out and move new things in all the time.
It's also crazy expensive. The margins are not very profitable. It's very hard to be these big concepts.
But La Carafe would be one, because they've been around, like, and that's the oldest building.
I've never even heard of that.
First time I've
ever
heard of
that. La
Carafe? Yeah.
It's like, it's the oldest building in Houston. It's right there, right across from, like, whatever that park is.
But how old's the bar?
The bar itself is definitely older than 20 years.
Okay.
It's the oldest building in Houston. Everything around it is probably new, but it served as an artillery during, I think, the Civil War. It's like at Allen's Landing. It's the oldest building in Houston.
There's one other one that I think is unscathed.
Monument Inn. It's been around since.
Food is fucking garbage.
It's been around since the Santa Ana.
Isn't the original Carrabba's still family owned?
They sold off the brand
and they franchised it, but the originals are still there. My whole point is simply that Houston, it's not like New York where it's a 100-year-old bar.
Right.
It's the same bar. It's been the family. Say what you will about Lucy K, but
that's same too. But like, why blame the bars for that?
No, we're not blaming the bars. We're not blaming the bars. What we're saying is
why have you been around longer, fucks? It's like,
but even the most beloved legendary comedy clubs aren't around anymore. And so we don't have a great laugh stop, and you know, the one that held on the longest of all of them was a defensive driving one. Like, it was like,
drill joint.
Yeah, this is not this is not what it's supposed to be, right?
Like,
right.
Yeah. So like,
this is what you're gonna do with your sandwich shop. You're gonna keep it open for 100
I want
years.
To. I Please. Want like ideally.
You're
like,
gonna have children to pass it down to. What
see,
are you
oh
here?
Man. So my grandpa, but let's my talk grandpa about just that. Passed away actually, and so that makes me the last leaf on our tree. Because my dad only had one kid, and he only, and my grandpa only had one kid. So like, without if I die like as I leave here in my Miata, like then the Jess's name is no more. So,
that's why
like,
I had a son. We stopped before.
I have never wanted kids, and my girlfriend at the time, like right now, she doesn't want kids. So like, kids aren't in the future. You've seen my act. I'm not going to be a world tour anytime soon, so that legacy is not going to happen. But it's just like, so
but
it's like,
you can do it with sandwiches.
I can make a pretty good sandwich, and so
can like, we talk about Nicole's lineage?
I mean, Nicole, my girlfriend, her family owns the Gringos, El Toro, like that branch. So we have like backing.
They
kind of
know.
Sense.
They kind of know what it is to create a legacy,
right?
So Charles, for the last few months, sorry to interrupt you, has been working on this. He wants to open up a location in Houston that is a food spot that we've got the logo, we've got the concept, and you've got the experience behind you. I mean, Charles is willing to put everything into it himself. And
we're having our first tasting tomorrow on for like our
tomorrow for, the day the this set. Is recorded.
Yeah, yeah. Tomorrow Saturday.
Saturday. Yeah, yeah.
We're having our first tasting party at my house where like we're gonna. I've made sandwiches for other parties, like Nick Palermo's birthday party at Scotty's. Like, we made what we're going to be using as our chicken parm there for Nick because he's Italian, and I was like, he's going to love it. And then he ate pizza before he came, and it was full, so he never ate it. But everybody else
is
the party
loved
it.
This is why we don't have 100-year-old restaurants.
Yeah, everybody else in the party loved it. So we're doing our first tasting on Saturday to, like, the first three recipes to see, you know, what's good, what's bad, what other people, and I invited specifically a bunch of people that aren't comics that haven't like been around me for the last 2 years, so they won't be like, oh yeah, it's good, you can do whatever, you know.
But
like,
you want objective
the last
feedback.
Thing yeah last thing I want to do is be making a food truck for 5 years and
is that a direct reference to something?
That is a direct
she knows
burn,
but he's also helping out, so okay. So burn. Like I'm partnering with a couple of Houston comedians, and like we're gonna be like working together to make these recipes because like one
now,
of
that
them,
being said, just as an aside, on top of having a location, if you also had a food truck making your stuff, it'd be dope.
So ideally, like what we're gonna do first is we're starting in the farmers markets until we get like a full on menu down. So we'll be at the Heights Market over off of Ella and the Montrose Market. And we'll do one week, one the other, other week. And then after we start nailing that down, then we're going to do like a food truck or trailer.
Sure.
Unless like a building where I'm like, oh yeah, I can make it work here, you know, pops up. Because I'm the kind of person that will look at a building tomorrow. It's old. I'm like, damn it. You know,
You drag your feet.
Yeah. And yeah,
that's what my wife
that
did.
About.
She settled on me for the same reason.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we all
She's
know
like,
that.
She's like, he's a nice guy.
Sometimes
okay.
persistence wins out.
Yeah.
So I highly encourage it. I think that it's, to me, I've always said, I think you and Nicole having a spot would be tremendous.
Yeah.
I think it's.
And it helps having you and like our other friends in the spirit world to like
100%
kind of spirit world.
Yeah.
I like how that
sounds.
I said that the other day and my mom was like, oh, you're going back to church? And I was like, no, I'm talking about drinks. Yeah. And she was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, if there's anything I can do to help, I'm 100% behind it. I think it's a brilliant idea. There is not,
and we'll be open late too, because like as comics, like the worst thing is like after like 10 o'clock, I can't get food
good
anywhere.
Food.
You know, like I can go to like a pizza shop next to the comedy
can
club.
Can you think
it sucks.
Of one spot in Houston that everyone talks about that is like the sandwich spot?
No. I mean, can you?
No, that's what
yeah.
I'm saying.
That's what I. That's
a
what
fucking
like,
great idea.
So I've been eating a lot. I don't even really eat sandwiches. I know this body screams sandwich,
sure,
but I don't really eat a lot of sandwiches. But lately I've been like, because like another goal of mine is to make the bread so good that somebody goes, oh, I want to just buy your bread. You know,
we've had a lot. There's a Todd Groom, been on the show 15,000 times. I spent a lot of time talking about how the bread in Houston needs work.
Yeah.
He comes from New Jersey. Bread's a big thing there. That's all they got.
Well,
Jersey,
you know, that guy tried to sell me fake maple syrup at the Whiskey Social, and
he's a con artist.
Yeah,
I mean, let's be honest.
I don't trust Todd Grube.
He's a bad-dressed con artist. Yeah. He's dead inside.
I don't trust Todd Grube as far as he'll walk in his denim Nike Dunks, you know?
What a piece of shit. I love him. Oh, God.
I hope he listens.
Yeah, I hope he's a horrible, horrible
and
person.
That's actually ankle. That's a great reference point, actually, because, like, I've been making bread with, like, somebody else. Like, we're working on recipes and
there's
stuff.
There's a couple halal places in Austin. There's some great taco joints in Austin. Yeah. There's some great pizza joints in Austin. I can't think of a single sandwich place here in Houston that everyone raves about.
And we're going to do our own meat. Like, we're not going to – it's not going to be, like, deli style.
Sure.
Like, we'll have an Italian option where you can get, like, pepperoni, salami, that kind of stuff. But, like, realistically, is like, I want to make sandwiches that, like, people don't often eat and, like, that are really good. So we're, like, we're working on, like, smoked pork loins and all that kind of stuff.
All the good stuff.
Yeah, trying to work on it because I want it to be, like,
the key is going to be
consistency.
That and good mustard.
Yeah, yeah.
You need, like, 15 different mustards.
Mustard is my favorite condiment.
It's the most important condiment.
Yeah, mustard and pickles are, like, the two things that I love the most.
Not as good of a name as Chupies.
Yeah, mustard and pickles.
That's not a bad name.
A pretty good name, you know. Like, if I was like doing like a pork shop, like, you know, because like pork is often.
I've always wanted to open a butcher shop. Dude. My wife and I've talked about it a bunch, and I'm like,
have you gone to the new butcher shop that just opened up at the Post?
It's a hard business. Butcher shop's a hard business.
You know, the Post here in Houston just opened
up? The new one? Yeah, I haven't been there yet.
So there's a place from Austin that came in called Salt and Thyme, and it's a locally sourced butcher shop. So they only go to farms in between here and Austin. They do butcher shop, and then they have a burger bar, and then they have a steak bar where you can get anything from USDA prime, you know, rib that's aged 36 days or whatever.
$40 burger.
Yeah, all the way to, like, stage 5 Wagyu or whatever. I don't know Wagyu.
For some reason, I thought you were going to say cancer.
You can get a USDA prime beef or, you know, Nolan Ryan's cancer.
Jesus Christ.
You know, Nolan Ryan used to live behind my aunt in Alvin, and so I would hit baseballs into his backyard trying to get him to, like, sign one and throw it back to me. And he finally did, but then he asked me to quit throwing baseballs in his backyard.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds like the direction he'd headed.
Yeah, it was, like, immediate. But to this day, because of that dedication and that Nolan Ryan ball I have, I buy nothing but Nolan Ryan steaks from Kroger. #ad.
Listen, thank you both so much for coming to catch up. It's been a while. It feels great to see you. Give a shout-out to what's happening tonight for your birthday. I'd love to know what's going on, where people can find tickets.
You can go to thesecretgroup.com. There's tickets. It's my birthday show to prepare for the album recording I'm doing in February.
Nice.
You're
doing it there?
Yeah, I am.
An hour? 30 minutes or an hour?
It's 30 minutes. It's an album. Yeah. And so, but thesecretgroup.com, or you can follow me at Lady Apron on Instagram, and it's there too.
Yeah, there's this stat I keep reading about how, like, even Netflix specials, even Dave Chappelle's special, like the big ones, that 27... Oh, you keep doing that deep breath when I mention his name. Do you have some things we'd like to talk about? There, the 27 minutes that most people will pay attention for 27 minutes.
Yeah.
So there's been this reversion from hours back to 30s because you can hit them with the heavy stuff.
Yeah, the last hour-long special that I, like, really enjoyed, like, the full hour, was probably Eddie Pepitone's For the Masses. I sent it to you. Like, I was like, you got to watch this. This is crazy. Like, because I don't know. As someone that tries to do comedy, like, it's really hard for me to watch people. Like, Theo Vaughn's new stuff. Like,
it was rough.
God, man.
I love Theo, but
that
was rough.
I saw that hour live at the Improv, and I thought it was great. I watched it on Netflix. And
Different shade of...
Yeah. I think a good, like, 15-minute, like, if you can do, like, good 15-minute videos, like, that would be so crucial, you know, like, so clutch, instead of doing an hour every year, you know.
Yeah, and you've got 30 minutes in February. Are you going to do it at the Secret Group?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, so people can get tickets to that as well.
Yep. But yeah. We haven't, like, tickets for that aren't on sale yet.
Are you going to try to do it in the box or in the main
room?
Doing
it in the box.
I love the box.
Is this your first special?
It is. It's my first comedy album recording. I'm doing it for Sure Thing in Austin. It's a record label in Austin that records comedy albums.
Are you excited?
I am, yeah.
I'm very, very happy for you.
I am, too. I'm happy for me, too.
Completely admirable thing to do an album. And I know, like Barry said, he's been working on it as well. So it's not
I was very flattered when they offered me one. Yeah.
Wow. And yeah. Charles, what do you got going on? This is going to air Friday, so after that.
After Friday? I haven't really been doing much lately because I've had a lot going on, so I don't really have anything to plug.
Sure.
But you can catch me at most open mics. I am vaccinated, so sometimes on Monday I'll be at Rudd's. But I just doing open mics and trying to really working on the sandwiches right now and trying to get that live because our conversation that we had.
You're locked in.
The most powerful thing that you can ever do is make the commitment and follow through.
Follow through is the word. I know so many people. My sister-in-law.
My baseball coach used to tell me that. If you got to follow through, you know, and I couldn't. So now I'm trying. So.
Katie had a tremendous idea for COVID. As soon as we went into lockdown, all the conspiracies came out about, and I've talked about this on the show.
She's like, let's kill the Republicans.
No. All the conspiracy theories came out about masks and that sort of thing and about the government trying to force you. And she had this idea of anonymously sending a mask and a fake letter from the CDC to whomever you want that just says, we've been notified by the appropriate authorities that you have chosen not to wear your masks. I know. Enclosed are two free masks. We highly encourage you. And when the vaccine comes out, to get that as well. So it's like this Big Brother watching you conspiracy theory prank.
Yeah, it's a good one.
And so she can send it to Kim.
Yeah.
And I was like, you'll make several hundred. There's no way, the way things are divided right now, you're not going to make several hundred thousand dollars with this idea. And she wouldn't.
I went to a funeral for someone that died of COVID.
Oh, and she harassed you about it.
And I got harassed for wearing a mask by somebody that I know.
At the funeral
for the person that died of COVID, or the woman that died of COVID.
Yeah.
And I was just like, at that point in time, I mean, honestly, I'm pretty neutral on it.
Sure.
Wear a mask if you want. Don't wear a mask if you don't.
But it's worth remarking on.
Yeah, but it's worth remarking. Like, I wore a mask, and I walked in, and they go, I can't believe you're wearing that. And I go, I don't know, it's called respect for people.
We're at
a funeral for someone that died of the disease.
And at the time, there was so much unknown. So it was
much unknown.
Follow through. The whole point of all of that was not to bash anybody, but the follow through idea, so many people have great ideas. Comedy.
Dude.
Doing a stand-up, committing to a special, opening your own business, it's all about follow through. And if you can just commit to it, you'd be good.
I kid you not, I had this idea of a tuxedo Snuggie. So, the terrible Snuggie infomercial.
Yeah.
But, as a tuxedo. And I told a bunch of people about it. And, it went for, 5 years. I never did it. I never tried
it.
And finally, someone made a tuxedo Snuggie. And it sold, over $1 million in the first weekend. And God. I was like,
it's all it is. It's follow through.
Yeah, it's all
I'd rather follow through and fail than not follow through and see someone else take my idea.
Welcome to my comedy career. Follow through and fail.
Well, listen, thank you both so much. I appreciate it. Thanks for trying the cognac. You liked it?
Very good.
You happy?
It's amazing.
Yes, it is.
Cheers.
Very good. Yeah.
Cheers.
Talk to you soon.
Balcony's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.